Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are back after, I know it really hasn't been forever, but I do feel like it's been forever. We are back with a very raw and real episode today. So, hey, friend, how are you? Yeah.
Hi, I'm good. I would ask how you are, but we just spent some time talking. And just to give you all a little bit of not even context, but just kind of what this episode is going to be like. This is going to be a different episode than what we normally do. We are in the middle of our doctrine series, and we are going to continue that. But this episode, we thought it was appropriate to deviate for one episode, if you will, with us. For context, for those of you that don't know and aren't friends or follow Shanna on social media, she had a death in her family. Her granny passed away. And as we were talking and preparing for what we wanted to discuss this episode, she actually gave the idea of, hey, can we talk about grief and what it looks like to walk through grief as believers, to walk through it as you're walking alongside of someone as they are grieving, and just kind of what has been going on in her life and in her heart, and just the things that God is showing and revealing and the things that she's learning in the moment. So it's going to be a little bit different this episode, but before we get into that aspect, we aren't going to do the catch up like we normally do, just because we'll get into that, right? That aspect. But we did want to check in on those that are joining us for the reading through the Bible chronologically with the Bible recap. I hope you all that are participating are still doing it. And if you've fallen behind, that's okay. Jump in on the day we are on day. Let me go back to what day we are supposed to. We are on day 95. Is that right? Yes. April 6th, day 95.
I have no idea.
So we are finishing up Judges, towards the end of Judges, for our Bible recap program.
Yeah, we just finished our 8th book.
I know.
That's pretty crazy.
That's really crazy. So we just kind of wanted to talk about what we've been reading and what we've been learning and all that fun stuff. So friend, what has Judges been like for you?
Well, Judges is a heavy book, right?
It is. We
just really see like the downward spiral of Israel. And Judges, like it's on full display.
For sure.
I think there was I have it highlighted here in chapter 2. There was a key verse that really stuck out to me. And it said, all the generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And when I read that, I was like, well, there we go. Like they... They didn't tell God's story to the following generations.
Right.
And so, like, of course, that's where Israel is right now, you know? And so that stuck out to me. And then I just love, like, with Gideon, I love how patient God is with him. Because, like, over and over, Gideon's like, but can you do this? But can you do this? You know?
What about this sign?
What about this sign? And never, he's not rebuked. God just does it for him, you know? And so I thought that was just really, really, like God's patience toward his children, was just really interesting to me. And then, you know, we ended it today. Judges, the end of Judges, especially is really hard. And it was just a really good reminder for me when I'm reading the Bible to read it through the lens of like, this is not God doing these things. This is them. This is Israel acting on their own will. So everything we're reading is descriptive. It's describing it. It's not prescriptive. It's not God doing this. And so all the terrible things that happen at the end, I mean, like, I've been in grief the last 2 weeks. And so this is what the Lord had for me to read now. And I was just like, I literally was like shedding tears today. And I read this, I mean, I've done one of Jen's Judges Bible studies. And so I've done a deep dive in Judges. And I was just reminded of like, man, the Lord is so kind and he is so patient with his children. But also we have a responsibility. And Israel, I mean, it literally ends, the last verse is everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so I'm excited to turn the page.
Yeah.
Because Israel, I mean, like, Judges is tough, but I think it's necessary, you know, for us to kind of sit in that. And so that's where we ended today. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
And that's not the first time that it says that in Judges, right? Like, often. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did right whatever seemed right to him. And I know growing up, I heard that, you know, that everyone did what seemed right in their own eyes. They kind of forgot about the first part. And, you know, when they were preaching, they threw that part out, but they talked about that one part. And it's true. You know, there is some validity to that, that we hear. We see how the children of Israel just did whatever felt right, and how much it could mirror kind of what is going on in the world around us, right? Again, not saying that everything within Judges is like we're going to apply it to modern day, but there is that principle and aspect of everyone, like it says, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. I also thought that it was just interesting, and I guess you could say the word fun, but I use that term loosely, of going through and reading those stories that we learned as kids, right? Like, we learned the story and heard the story of Samson and heard the story of Gideon. And if you were like really trying to impress your friends, you knew the story of Ehud and JL and, you know, all of these stories that, so it was really interesting to be able to read that just within all of Judges, and kind of one right after the other, really. But, yeah, like you said, just how patient God is with his people. But also, while he is loving and patient, there are consequences to disobedience. And that is what we see as well, right? Is that there are consequences to disobedience and not following what God tells us. And so we kind of see that on display in the book of Judges.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're following along with us, we've now read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and Job.
Yep.
So, and some verses in Psalms have been kind of sprinkled throughout there. But yeah, we are well on our way into the Old Testament. I'm loving every second.
Like Ruth for a day. Like, we run through the whole book of Ruth in a day, I believe.
Yeah.
Or maybe a couple days. And then get into First Samuel. And so I'm really excited, looking forward to
those are some of my favorite. Those are some of my my favorite books, First and Second Samuel. It's so great, like, so great.
And then also, because it's a chronological reading plan, we're also going to be reading some Psalms that are written in tandem at the time when the events were happening in First Samuel. So we're going to read through the events, but then also read the Psalms that were written at that time.
Yeah. And that's that's really helpful. I was thinking today, like, with my grief and like just lament, some of the songs of lament that David wrote happened while he was hiding in a cave, which happened in Samuel.
Right.
So, I'm really excited because it puts it in perspective. When you see like what was really happening at the same time, the heart behind the matter, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we all know it is been talked about many times that I am not the emotional one. So Psalms can sometimes be a struggle for me because I just want to tell the writers, just be happy and be okay and get suck over it. And
let me just tell you though, that she's saying that she did not do that to me the last
I was
weeks.
Gonna say, but can she's we been great up with I did not do that to you during the last couple weeks, so I guess that's a transition, not a good transition, but a transition into our discussion today.
Is there a good one? I don't know.
No, not really. That's what we talked about. I was like, how are we going to get to this? This is how it is.
I'm just going to talk about it.
We have zero notes. We just kind of, is truly just a raw conversation between two friends with other friends that are listening and hopefully that I'm sure have experienced grief and can sympathize with where you're at and know exactly kind of what you're going through. And if you haven't, then you've probably walked through it with someone, or you will walk through it with someone. So that's kind of why we just wanted to have an open and honest discussion about grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have to give me grace if I tear up, and I wish you could see Kristen's face because it'll make her really uncomfortable, but she's a great friend. It's going to make her uncomfortable because she'll tear up with me and she hates that. So
that's true. That's very true.
One of the reasons I really just want to talk about it is it's kind of what's consuming my life right now. And we originally were supposed to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like it kind of falls, I guess, maybe, you know, in the Lord's timing, in the right spot. But, you know, I've been thinking of like just how in general we deal with death. And this is probably really a Western cultural thing, is we don't know what to do with it. You know, death is not natural. Everyone's like, it's the natural process of aging. And I'm like, false. Death is not natural. Death is a consequence of sin. Death is not a natural thing that God created. And so our feelings toward it is not natural. You know, we don't know what to do with it. It's awkward and we don't like it. And I think feeling that is one thing. And I think walking alongside someone like that is one thing, because you just don't know what to do. You know, I have felt over this last like week and a half extremely loved and seen by my friends, by my church family. And that has been such a gift. And sometimes it's just, you and I hardly talked last week, but it was just a text saying, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you today. Like that was it, you know? Or like whether it was flowers from someone at church or just a text message saying, hey, I want you to know I was praying over you in the moment that I needed it. Like that was the Holy Spirit. But I've also had a lot of, I grew up in fundamentalism where anytime you questioned anything, it was, am I even a believer or am I doubting God's goodness? And like, you know, we did a whole episode on lament, which I would encourage everyone to listen to with Elizabeth Woodson. And we have someone who's going to be coming on and talking about how to walk alongside people who are grieving. I know like one of your favorite people, he's amazing. Yes. So, you know, this is what we're doing right now because this is what I'm walking through. So
I was going to say, this isn't the end of the conversation on grief and lament.
This is what Shanna is doing right now. you know, I was in counseling on Monday, kind of catching my counselor up on everything that happened. And, you know, I was just telling her, she asked me, you know, have you ever experienced this type of deep grief before? And I was telling you before we recorded, I was like, you know, when I lost my twins, I talked about it in our, lament episode. I experienced deep grief then, but it was a lot of anger. But also very real, like vulnerability, like, why, oh Lord, like I was like the psalmist, like how long, oh Lord, you know, like it was a true, like deep emotion. Now I think, my faith is at a different spot. and I'm walking this line between grief and joy, where I am both joyful and I know God's promises and I know what he says in his word, and I'm experiencing deep grief. Mm-hmm. So, I know that you know how close I was to my granny. But our listeners probably don't. I know it's an odd thing because people like love their grandparents, you know, like they're like, I love my grandma. But like my grandparents are like my parents. Yeah. And my granny is one of my best friends. Very, very, very close. And so, and I even remember like you were at my house for New Year's when you got engaged, and like we FaceTimed her and she was like, congratulations. And
yeah, she was, I mean, from a non-family perspective, right? The first time that I think I met her was probably for your wedding, because I don't think I had visited you before then.
Yeah.
In Shreveport. And it was just an immediate, like, you are now part of the family. Like, once you meet Granny and she loves you, you are hers. Like, you call her Granny. It was not Gwen. Like, that is not who I called her. I did not honestly call her Miss Gwen or anything. It was Granny.
I think the only reason you know her name is from her obituary, because literally so many people at the viewing came up to me that I went to high school with. I saw people that I have not seen since high school that was like, I heard about Granny and I had it. And like, and they're like, I didn't even know her name.
Yeah.
No one knew her name. Everyone called her Granny. And I think that that's just the type of person that she was. So
absolutely.
Let me just tell a story. Can I tell a story?
I would love it.
Can I take it back?
Yes.
To everything that's happened. Okay. So, my husband, left for spring training with his brothers. It's like a guys trip that they do every year. And I'm always bitter about it, as anyone who listens knows, because I love baseball.
Because we love baseball.
And I think, you know, the Lord just knew. He's like, not this year. I never get to go. Especially not this year. And so he had left, and then like literally it was hours after he left, I got a call that said she's not doing well. She's been in the hospital. I don't know if you remember, we actually had to postpone an episode because I went to Louisiana and spent the night with her in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, she's not doing well. We need to think about comfort care. And I've known people who have lived on comfort care for weeks and weeks and weeks. But like when I just looked at her, I was like, she is struggling and fighting so hard. Mm-hmm. And so we made the decision to put her on comfort care, and less than 24 hours, she was face to face with Jesus. And my grandfather, they've been married for 60 years, which is mind blowing, 60 years.
I know.
He sat by her side holding her hand for 22 hours. He wouldn't get up and go to the bathroom. He wouldn't, like, he held her hand for 22 hours. And the one thing he always says is like, she let go of my hand and grabbed Jesus's. And I'm just like, man, like, well, you can't ask for anything better, you know?
Yeah.
But I immediately, like, I just went into like fix it mode. I'm like, you know, if you know me, I'm a writer. And I immediately went into, like, they asked me to write the obituary. And I was like, I got it. Also, my personality is like, I have all of my granny's pictures. She gave them to me years ago. Like, they're in a big old bin. And I was the grandkid that would sit with her for hours and go through the pictures. Like, I'm just in the middle like that. And so I knew the most about, like, the family and like where she grew up, and it was just easier for me to do it. And so I wrote the obituary, and then I put her slideshow together. I sat and went through pictures and put her slideshow together, and made sure that my grandfather had food. A lot of family members were reaching out, but I was their point of contact. And so I was lining that up, and it was just, you know, a really busy time. My grandfather asked me to give the eulogy, and so I did that as well. And I think one of the hardest things that people can't believe, and honestly, I can't believe I did it, but it was the most healing and sweetest thing ever, was I painted her fingernails. And so, as you know, Kristen, I am like obsessed with my nails. Like, it makes me really happy. Like, if I could just have my nails done, like, My toes can be terrible. Don't look at them. My nails make me happy.
every time I come out to visit you,
that's what we do. That's what we do. It makes me really happy. Like, I'm already planning my nails for your wedding. Like, it makes me, it's not even my wedding and no one cares, makes me happy. And so I get that from her. Her nails, I remember, like, she literally got off the vent and I was spending the night with her and she asked if I could paint her nails. And I'm like, who just died?
You just died.
My brother, for those who don't know, is a paramedic and he's a officer with the fire department. And he was the one that gave her CPR.
Yeah.
So like, that's a whole different ball game. You know, like I didn't have to give my grandma CPR, but
right.
She wanted me to paint her nails. And I was like, okay, granny, we're not painting your nails tonight. Like, we're still in ICU. But between then and when she passed, she did have someone come paint her nails. And every other nail was lime green and bright orange. And because she had been in the hospital, like they were peeled. That was her. Bright colors.
I was
going to
say,
favorite.
that is the epitome of granny. Like bright colors.
So
and
we
bling.
We joke that if you've seen Friends, we joke all the time that Emma is Phoebe.
Yeah.
Like her style and her. She does what she wants and
she's
she doesn't care.
One of a kind. Yeah.
And a lot of that I can see from my granny because like granny's lime green and bright pink and yellows and oranges, like those are her favorite colors. And so I was like, but I cannot let her be buried like that because like they were all just crazy.
Right.
And so I was at the funeral home and we were talking to the guy and my mom and I, like we took a bottle of nail polish and we were like, can someone paint her nails? Like this would be really important to me. And the guy was like, well, we contract out the hair and we contract out the makeup, but we don't have anyone to do her nails. And he was like, do you know anyone? And I was like, this is really important to me. So I'll do it, which everyone thought was a terrible idea. And honestly, as did I. Yeah.
And you told
like, are
me,
you
you're
sure?
Like, you're like, I've got to go. Yeah, I think you said, hey, pray for me tomorrow. I've got to go paint granny's nails. And I was like, Is this something you should be doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So my mom and my dad went with me. My warped sense of humor, I don't know. As I'm getting off of the elevator to walk back to like her body, I get a text on my watch from someone from church and they're like, the Lord just laid it on my heart. I'm praying for you today. Like literally at that moment. And she was like, I'm praying for peace that passes all understandings. And I'm like, well, I really need that like at this moment. And so I walk back there and I see her and I mean, I do okay. Like I have I'm very task oriented. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's always healthy. And so like I have a job to do. I'm going to paint her nails. And so the way I get through it the entire time is like cracking jokes, which may also not be healthy. But I remember like she always painted my nails as a little girl, always. And she was like, blow on them, but don't move your nails. Like she would always say that. And she even did it to Emma. And so I'm painting her nails and like she's laying there. This is so dark.
Because
she's dead.
She's laying. Yeah. can we say she's laying there because she's dead?
And I was like, I'm painting her nails. And my mom's like standing over there off to the side. And I think my dad stepped out for a second. And I'm like, okay, granny, don't move your nails. They're drying. And my mom was like, wow.
Please don't move.
Please don't move. And then like I go to the second coat and I'm like, I would ask you to blow on your nails, but please don't blow on your nails.
No.
It was like the only way I could get through it was to joke. And then I don't know. This is just us, I guess. I told my brother about this. My brother's like, you're an idiot. There's this guy. He played in Branson for years called Ray Stevens. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he sang this song called I Ain't Sitting Up With the Dead No More. And we used to watch the video at my granny's house. And if my listeners know what I'm talking about, you have to tell me. You have to tell me because I cannot be the only person. And it was this video. Like back in the day, people used to sit up like with the dead. Like they would have the wake in their house or whatever. And they would like stay, like take shifts and stay up with them. And so then I started singing that song. I ain't sitting up with the dead no more because the dead start sitting up too. So it's totally healthy. It's fine.
Oh, it's totally fine.
But yeah, after we did her nails, I just had a few minutes with her. And I knew that it's just her body. It's not her. Mm-hmm. But those hands of hers have taken care of me a lot and have mm-hmm. fed me a lot and cleaned up after me. And yeah. And then so like I just kind of sat there for a bit and held her hand and rubbed my hands like through her hair. And she hated how long her hair was, but it looked so great. And so honestly, that was super great for me. And super healing for me. And so like the one thing I thought was going to be the most difficult ended up being like, I had that time with her. Well, it wasn't really her, just her body, but it was healing for me, you know? And that helped me kind of focus on my grandfather when the time came for the funeral. And so, yeah, I was just nonstop busy that week. And so I'm processing this week. And that's why I'm like, honestly, Kristen, like, we can talk about grief because I'm in the midst of it right now. And it hits like waves. It's not like constant. Like I feel great one minute and I want to cry and take a nap the next, you know, that's okay. I think that one of the things that I'm learning is someone told me this from my church. They were like, you feel what you feel. And which sounds like such a silly statement, but it's like, you feel what you feel. But like really feel it. Don't try to hide it. Cause I think, you know, you're in more into biblical counseling than I am. I think people when they're grieving, and they're not given an opportunity to really feel those feelings can really fall. Like it can lead to problems. There can be like two sides of the spectrum, right? Where it's like denial or despair. Like, for sure. I had multiple people like, how are you? How are you? And I would hear some family members saying, I'm doing great. I'm doing good. And I'm like, This sucks. Like literally that was, if you're asking me how I'm doing, I'm like, this stinks. Like I am not, I'm struggling today. That's like my answer.
This is not my chosen. Like I did not want this to happen. Like this is not like on our to-do list. Like,
exactly. But I've heard people be like, I'm fine. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm believing in his goodness. You know, I just, not that you shouldn't do that,
right?
But in those do you feel those things?
Right. Those are not untrue things. And in that moment, maybe you do feel those things. Great. But that doesn't negate the emotions that you're feeling, those feelings that you're feeling, those are not bad.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those things where I feel like maybe it was just me and the way I grew up. But sometimes the IFB tended towards all emotion is bad emotion.
Yeah.
And so grief was almost bordering on a like the prosperity gospel side of things of like, well, you just aren't trusting God enough. Like if you're feeling grief, that means there's something wrong between you and God because you should not be feeling that. Almost as if grief was a sin.
That's exactly right.
We know that that's not true.
Yeah.
And how do we know that? Because we see it throughout scripture. We see examples, right? That Jesus wept, right?
Yeah.
He mourned the death of Lazarus, a friend of his, a dear friend of his, right? So we know then that grief is not a sin and to mourn is not a sin. And I think it's important to be able to make make space for it. I cringe a little bit at that word, but I think it is important. So I can look back on, and I know this is like more you're walking through like your grief, but I think you can attest to as well that when my grandma passed away, I did not deal with it well. I did not deal with it at all. Now, that was more just who I am as a person in that I don't like emotions and I don't deal with it.
Because it makes you uncomfortable.
Because it makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I ended up paying the price for that in that I spent a year almost. No, not a year. Track back. Not even a year. It was a few months. But I did not deal with it well to the point of where I kind of hit a wall where I quit my job and had to move back home because I was not in a good place. Not in a good place of not saying that like I wanted to take my life or anything like that. But I knew that me being isolated away from family because I hadn't been dealing with my grief and grieving, that it affected me in deep ways. So grief is not a sin, but it is something to be able to enter into and be able to feel. And it doesn't mean that you don't believe that God is good. It doesn't believe, it doesn't mean that you don't believe that God is faithful. It doesn't mean that you don't believe all of those attributes that we learned about, right? It doesn't negate those. Your emotions don't negate those things. It just is, right? It just is.
I think you are spot on, because I was thinking back, like, you know, like the prayer of lament. And last time I really had to do this, I was angry. It was out of anger. And this time it's just my granny was 85, married for 60 years, loved Jesus, loved her family. Like, what a life well lived. So I'm not, I I've had very unhelpful comments that people were saying, you know, at least you had your granny for 37 years. Like, I'm like, that's not helpful in my grief, you know?
No.
Or at least she died at a nice old age. I'm like, also not helpful. It's true. Both of those things are true. I think that I'm lamenting the fact that there's even death and that this is even something that we're going through. And so it's like, for me, it's not, it's like, it's how long, oh Lord, until you just redeem it all, you know, take away the sadness, redeem it all. I think, so I was thinking back to like lament, and it's probably become one of my favorite prayer languages as I've walked through a lot of things in my life and like with people, and how it really, back to what you're saying, it's that I'm not saying God isn't good. It's that I know that he is good, but this is really, really hard. Like, what I'm going through is really, really hard. But it's why we go to him, right? And I was listening to a podcast the other day. I think I sent it to you. The author of Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. I can't say his last name. Mark.
We'll go with that. It starts with a V.
It does.
It has an R after it immediately. Yes. So I'm like,
It's phenomenal. And I would recommend it to literally anyone who is walking through a very difficult time. But he was saying that lament is one of the most theological informed things that Christians can do, because it's one of the most faith-filled things that you can do, to talk to God when you're in pain with the risk of being disappointed, with the risk of it not coming out the way that you hope for, that it is literally a huge step of faith, because what we're saying is that I believe he's good. I believe he's sovereign. I believe he's all powerful. And that even if he doesn't choose to redeem this grief right now, that doesn't change who he is. But that he, as his children, he invites us into, like, to talk to him and to bring this before him, and that he meets us in that grief. You know, I think that is one of the most encouraging things, is that I was reading Romans, and it was talking Romans 8 specifically. And it was like, you know, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For sometimes we don't know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Not that we're groaning, but that the Spirit intercedes with us for groanings too deep for words. And that's kind of like an upcoming episode where we're united with Christ, right? Like, he is in it with us. And I think that has been like one of the most comforting things for me. And one of the things that we say over and over again, you and I have said this, is that we shout things in the light when it's really, really easy and life is great, so we can whisper it in the dark. And so this last week I have felt that, where I couldn't shout God's goodness. But I could repeatedly whisper that in my head, that God, you will redeem this. You will redeem this.
And that's part of lament, right? Like, that's one of the things that I know Mark Vorga, whatever his name is.
We'll go with
that. Sorry that we are completely butchering his last name. But that's one of the things that he talks about in that book, right? That lament turns us towards God when, you know, that sorrow wants to turn us away from God. Like if we're just focusing on the sorrow aspect, that tempts us to run away from him and just run directly into that sorrow. But lament turns us towards God. That it's not, again, it's not a bad thing. It's actually right and good.
Yeah.
For us to be able to run to God and say, I know you're good. I know you're faithful. But the situation is not fun. Like it is not good.
Yeah. I think walking through grief helps you better walk alongside others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have and no one's the same. What makes me feel better may not make someone else feel better, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I think that like something, so I was telling Kristen before we recorded, when I was giving the eulogy at the end, I spoke directly to my grandfather. I mean, married 60 years, you know, that's so long. I mean, that's your identity, you know, like it's tied up in who you two are together. And, you know, I told him, like I talked specifically to him and I was like, you know, so many people have told him that this is just her body. She's not there. She's in the presence of the Lord. She wouldn't come back even if she could come back. Mm-hmm. All of that is true. Yes,
all
and amen.
True things.
Not helpful when you're grieving, but all true things.
Not helpful. So, yeah. The week of.
Yeah. The week of. And so what I was telling him, I was like, you know, scripture tells us that we don't grieve as others do who have no hope. Because the grave doesn't see the final victory, right? Like, we've been given victory over death through Jesus, period. But today, this week, next week, the months to come, like we grieve. And I think the difference is that when we try to rush people to get over their grief, that's not helpful. We need to learn to just collapse into the arms of Jesus and let him carry us through our grief, knowing that he meets us in our sorrow and that one day he will redeem this grief because he is our redeemer. Like that is who he is. I think it's really encouraging to think that Christ reclaims all that we've lost, everything that death has taken away. My granny's story does not end in the grave. It does not end with us burying her. This grief, this lament that I'm feeling does not endure forever, because what death has taken away will one day be reclaimed. Christ will reclaim it and resurrect a life. So I buried my granny's body in the most beautiful pink casket that she would have loved. But that's not the end of it, because one day she will rise again. Her body will come out of that grave alive, remade, like completely whole. And so until then, like, what do we do with our grief? You know, that's the question. We know how this ends, but until then, we're living in a broken world with emotions. And until then, we remember God's promises and we push forward. That's what I'm living in right now. I don't know. That's the things that I keep reminding me. And I also think, I think I posted this on my social media, if we're friends, and my granny, her favorite thing was butterflies. She got a tattoo of a butterfly on her leg when she was in her late 60s. Like, she was pushing 70. She did. It's like the size of like a nickel, maybe. It's tiny, but it's this butterfly. And she always called Emma butterfly love. She was like, hey, butterfly love, how are you? When she talked to Emma. And she's like, anytime you see a butterfly, think of me. And so it was interesting. This is spring. Butterflies are out.
Right.
But when she passed, I was sitting on my parents' front porch, like in their swing, and I bought this massive monarch butterfly. It was huge. Came and just like sat on the ledge, like didn't fly off. It just sat there. And I was like, oh, pretty. Granny would have loved it. Like, I just passed it off, you know?
Yeah.
And then later I walked across the pasture. My grandfather lives like in front of my parents. And I walked over there to him and I was sitting on his front porch. And the same thing, this butterfly just came and sat like on the ledge of his porch. And then a couple of days later, I'm driving in the car and I'm at a red light. And this butterfly, this stinking butterfly, flies.
Wait a second.
It does not drive.
The butterfly that's all, is driving.
You will be burying me next to my granny. No, it is flying next to my window. And I'm like, wow. Mm. And then I get to thinking and I'm like, you know, that was my granny's favorite thing. So every time I see a butterfly, I think of her. Mm. And because it's the day that we live in, I'm not saying the butterfly comes and I'm talking to my granny. Like,
right.
It's a butterfly.
It's my a granny butterfly.
Is in heaven with Jesus and she's not a butterfly and I'm not talking to the butterfly. But I do think in God's kindness, because I've seen them twice since I've been home as well in my backyard. Mm. In God's kindness, I think it's a way for him to say, hey, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I see you in this grief. Here's some comfort for you. This is not the end. Like, remember. And so that's what I think of. I'm not like, hey, granny, what's up today?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that. But I'm like, hey, thanks, Lord. Like, it's I like needed how, that reminder. Yeah. I think how I great. Honestly think that it is his kindness that is just like, remember my promises, mm-hmm. Shanna, remember. And I just think that's really encouraging.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Every day is not easy. I was telling Kristen from the listeners, I was having a great day today and I was running on the treadmill and I have a Peloton tread and I was running and it was like a Disney. So I'm like, yay, it's Disney. Should be great. And like
Let's
the Lion King.
Down to business.
The Lion King comes on and it's a Circle of Life and I start bawling. And I'm like, what
I
just
mean, that's fair.
Happened? What just happened?
And it will continue to happen. I know this isn't the first of losses in your life. It will, and I know you've heard it again, it will continue to happen. And
waves.
Mm-hmm. As you encounter things like mm-hmm. Again, I've thought of it as I prepare to get married that my grandma will not be there. Mm-hmm. And it still to this day chokes me up. And I'm like, man, I really wish she were. But that wasn't God's plan. Like, mm-hmm. And I can be, it's not grief. It's not mourning. It's just like, man, I really wish she were here. And I know that's a selfish wish, but I wish she were. But she's not,
mm-hmm.
And that's okay too. So it will be random times like running on a treadmill. I don't running run on a treadmill, but it won't be that for me.
Take it from me. It's weird. It's weird feelings. And I was going through things like, I had random thought. The only jewelry box I've ever owned, I got when I was 8 years old from like this boy I had a crush on for Valentine's Day. And I still have it.
Why do
20
you...
years later?
No,
it's the only
I'm not going to ask why, because you're a very sentimental person.
I am.
You hold on to
friends,
that kind of stuff.
We were friends since we were like 3, 4. And I still have it, but it's all I've ever had. But I was like, it's time to get a big girl jewelry box. And so I just ordered one. And I was like going through my jewelry and like, you know, putting them in there. And that was really emotional because my granny, I remember she gave me like her cookbook. She gave me a lot of her jewelry like before she passed. And I'm like, you are still alive. Like, stop. But now I'm like, honestly, it means more to me. Because she wanted me to have it. It wasn't like my grandfather was like, granny wanted to give this to you.
Right.
She wanted me to have it. And so now I'm like, well, I treasure those even more. You know, like it's just little things I just see God's kindness in. And I have a lot coming up. And I told you earlier, we live 3 hours away. So we didn't talk every single mm-hmm. day, but we talked weekly. And so sometimes it's easy to forget. And then I'm like, oh, I need to call granny, or, oh, she would love this, or I need to tag her in Facebook or something like that. And then that hits me. And I think that is just going to be like an ongoing thing. I think your wedding's going to be hard for me because she was looking so forward to that. And she wanted like pictures and like, right. I mean, she has a better view of it now, but It
she
is,
does.
It's still going to be, you know.
But like you said, right? Like she was, she, again, when I say, when you met Granny and she was like, you call me Granny, you were part of her family. Like anytime I went to visit Shanna and John Eric in Shreveport, it was expected that I would make a trip out to see Granny.
And if you didn't, you were going to hear about it.
And if I, yeah. And if I didn't, I would hear about it. And so it was, she was very invested, even in these last few years of when I wasn't there and being able to see her. I know she was keeping up with me through you. And
she quizzed me about Matthew, man.
Like, I love he, it. I love
do you,
it.
Do you like him? Is he good like, enough for her?
Is he good? He's great.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'm just kidding, Matthew.
Just kidding. And you can say that because you know he listens.
I do know that he will hear this. Yeah. So I guess, you know, honestly, what I would say, two things is what I would say. If you're walking through grief, I'll give you the same advice that I was given. It's okay to feel what you feel. And if you feel sadness, you feel sadness. Like, you don't have to put on a smile and pretend as if God isn't good. That's okay.
Right.
The second thing is, and I think I even mentioned this to you earlier, it's okay to live in the tension with someone if you're walking by. My cousin did a fantastic job of that, where I could just sit and cry and there was no, she's in a better place. Not that there's not a right time for that. She's, you know, and even when she was sick, there was no, she's going to be okay. It was just, she sat and she cried with me and I'm really sorry that you're going through this. And I don't think people realize, just acknowledging your pain and not trying, not that people try to skip over it, but you just want to make people feel better. We don't know what to do with our grief. Right. Like, how can I fix it? And how can I make you feel better? Sometimes just acknowledging their pain, like, this is really hard and I'm really sorry that you're going through this, is extremely helpful. And just the people who like loved on me through food, which is like a really big love language of mine. They're like, they were literally like, I can't take your grief away. I can't bring her back to life, but I can feed you. And I was like, that's really helpful. Yes. Like, there's just so many things I think people can do, to walk alongside people in grief that may not seem like a big deal because you want to do something more. But when someone's dealing with grief, it's such a huge, it is literally such a huge deal. So I think what I would say is just be present.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
I think there's a song by Casting Crowns who I have not listened to in forever. That was like, just love them like Jesus and carry them to him. And that's how I felt. And it doesn't have to be through words, but like, I felt like, whether it's people from my church or family, like I just felt like seen. And I think that's what anyone wants to feel when you're in deep grief, is just, you just want to feel seen.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I don't know. That's my life currently. That's where I'm at currently.
Well, if I can, I would like to, and I'm springing this on Shanna. She doesn't know.
They should see my face right now.
I know. I'd like to pray over us, and a prayer that I found. I will not attribute that I am the one who is coming up with these beautiful words, but I thought that they were very fitting. And so I figure I would pray over us to end this episode. So, Father in heaven, I acknowledge that you are the one who bestows good gifts, and you are the one who recalls them again. It is by your hand that each of us is brought to life, and by your hand that each of us is called into death. You are the one who gives, and you are the one who takes away. And so I bless your name. Father, it has been your will to take away one that we love. And even while we acknowledge that you make no mistakes and you commit no wrongs, still it hurts so much. Still our minds are bewildered and our hearts are broken. But even as we weep, We pray that we would not grieve as one who has no hope, as one who has no faith, and as one who has no confidence in you. We pray that in our sorrow, we will be quiet of spirit so that we can listen attentively to hear each of your precious words of consolation. We pray that in our sorrow, we will be confident, assured that there is as much of your love in the taking away of this blessing as there was in the giving of it. We pray that in our sorrow, we will be meek, continually bowing the knee to you in humble submission. I pray that in our sorrow, we will be grateful so that even as we lament the blessing that has been taken, we will be thankful for the countless blessings that have been given and that remain. Pray that in our sorrow, we will be holy and never fail to plead that by your grace, you will sanctify this grief to us and use it to make us more like Christ. I pray that in our sorrow, we will be composed so that we are ready to do whatever you call us to do and to bear whatever you call us to bear. Whatever mission is wrapped up in this bereavement, I pray that we would accept it and do it in your name and for your glory. I pray that in our sorrow, we will be trustful so that we can look to the future with a sure and steady confidence, looking forward to the day when you dry each of these tears. Father, we've received so many of your blessings with smiles of gratitude and release this one now with tears of sorrow. Let us offer just one prayer more, that in our sorrow we will be patient so we can bear with this grief for as long as you call us to and remain faithful to the very end, to the end when we will hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It's in the name of Jesus Christ, my living, reigning, sympathizing friend, that we pray. Amen.
It is not death to die, to leave this weary road and join the saints who dwell on high, who found their home with God. It is not death to close the eyes long dimmed by tears and wake in joy before your throne, delivered from my fear. Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death to die. It is not death to fling aside this earthly dust and rise with strong and noble wing to live among the just. It is not death to hear the key unlock the door that sets us free from mortal years to praise you evermore. Oh Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save. Those who trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death to die. Oh Jesus, conquering the grave, your precious blood has power to save those who trust. trust in you will in your mercy find that it is not death to die.